Good afternoon. Welcome to the channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. So did you get rain over the weekend? If so, was it enough to satisfy your crops at this moment? We're going to talk a little bit about that weather system. Believe it or not, there are folks talking planting delays, maybe not so much in Nebraska, but we know a lot of other states have definitely been hit by that as well. We'll take a look at what was the dropping factor for this wheat out of Chicago, as wheat has been kind of the leader the last couple trading sessions. We have a crop progress report that comes out this afternoon, and we'll also take a look at the livestock side of the trade action. And in order to do that, we got to bring into the conversation Darren Fessler. Darren, of course, is with Lakefront Futures. So let's start out with the rain. I mean, you've talked to a bunch of your customer clients, and man, this rain definitely has brought some relief, shall we say, a little bit to these fields.
It certainly has. I mean, I would say the general thesis or theme is that these rains have been welcomed, maybe in a little bit excessive amounts of rain, especially if you're over by the Aurora area. But, you know, in general, these rains are, I think, my personal view of it is I think they're going to be beneficial once we can get and if we can get back in the fields. And I think that's just a question of when we're looking at the forecast for this week. And when you look at the Western Belt here, I mean, it's I think the focus is on Iowa here at the very moment, or the eastern part of Nebraska. Still looking at next 10 days here, you know, two and a half spots, and three and a half in Iowa. So again, there's no wheels are going to be turning in that part of the country this week anyway, and more likely probably not next week. So, you know, crop progress out here just in a little bit. I mean, market is looking for 27% planted on that corn. So really, when we look at is there a planting delay, I mean, I still think we're early, but we got to look at what do the next couple of weeks look like? And I think really when it comes to the scare, if you will, you're going to have to probably get this out a couple more weeks. If you're in the back half of, you know, third week of May here and we're sub 50% planted, then there's probably some areas of concern that we really start having to focus on. And the funds have done, a decent job here of covering. They haven't gone long this stuff. I think it's just simple short covering. You can see this in their open interest. I think they're just lightening up on their short position, seeing how this early stage development pans out, see what the progress does. But if the rains start happening later on in the growing year, July 4th, you know, second week of July, you know, given our stock's use, there's still a lot of room for them to add to the short side. So we're just saying, hey, I think we're still in a mindset that rallies are probably rewarding opportunities for both corn and beans.
But I mean, this is only the 29th of April. Is it too early to be talking about prevent plant and some planting replants?
You know, I personally think it is. When I speak to my growers up in North Dakota, South Dakota, I mean, these rains were welcomed. It's more of a concern now. The seeds that are in the ground, you know, cooler temps, wetter soils, I think it's a little bit too early to hit the panic button on prevent plant. Probably too early to talk about massive sorts of delays. Again, I think it's a couple weeks out yet before we start really getting all that concern about the significant planting delays like maybe we had seen in 2019.
Well, nobody's going to turn this rain away, but unfortunately, it sounds like there's obviously more headed our way over the next couple of weeks. So that's just going to cause for some sort of slower down when it means to get back in the fields.
Yeah, more than likely, just looking at the probabilities of, you know, half inch, 2 inches. And if you've already got 2 or 3 inches of rain here, there's no wheels probably going to be turning, you know, within the next 7 to 10. So, you know, that's if we don't get any more rain. So, again, it's just I think the market's trying to take in the macro events here that are taking place. And obviously what we've seen in the wheat has encouraged corn higher just a little bit, or at least encouraged some covering in the corn market. But again, I think it's just about progress week after week here and what the USDA says where we're at.
But then we also have to remind ourselves that this afternoon's crop progress report does not have this weekend's rain amounts in it. So we still could see some interesting report information.
Yeah, I mean, just speaking with overall, I mean, there's been a lot of good progress made last week. So I would not be surprised to see if we come in here a little bit higher than 27, maybe closer to that 29, 30%. But again, I'm not expecting a whole lot of stuff to be done here this upcoming week.
So what is your thoughts on this wheat complex, and what was the driving factor out of Chicago to see the drop like it did?
Well, I think that coming into this week, we were already getting a little bit overextended here. You know, we still have a lot of concerns in the winter wheat belt, but when you look at the Chicago, it's much more of the higher volume market. It's the biggest actively traded market for the wheat here in the United States. We went up, retested the 200-day EMA. Now, we also had some pivot points sitting right around that 624 level as well. So I think just taking a little bit of a breather here, I think, was what this market kind of needed. We still held the five-day EMA. We still held the $6 level on the close as well. So this market has gone up a lot over the last week. Again, a little bit of breather is not too shocking here. But again, I think the bigger concern for wheat, especially U.S. wheat, would be the winter wheat. I mean, we have to get some of these models to verify these actual precip to happen here, because these winter wheat conditions, I am not expecting them to improve at all in this week's crop progress. So again, it comes down to whether these crops get rain or not.
What's the one thing you're going to look at right before we head to break that we need to watch in this grain complex?
I want to see the progression of corn planting, and I want to see how these winter wheat conditions pan out week over week. They've been declining for the last 3-4 weeks.
All right, well, stick around. We've got more coming up. We'll finish taking a look at what the movement is with this grain complex. Look at the worldwide side of it, especially when it comes to China and where they are when it comes to even looking at the U.S. with the pressure still coming out of South America. And then we'll take a look at what was the driving factor for the drop that we saw today in the cattle complex. We're not used to a Monday with red cattle numbers. We'll talk more about that and a lot more coming up after this, the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.
When you're a farmer, tomorrow always brings a new challenge. Unexpected weather, invasive pests, volatile markets, the list goes on. But with the enhanced Channel Seed Brand's top-performing products, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can rise to meet them all. Channel Seed, let's rise to the challenge. And catch our new Channel Nebraska podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
KRBN.
Welcome back once again to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as our conversation does continue with Darren Fessler. Darren, of course, is with Lakefront Futures. So we left off kind of talking about the grains and the weather and how that was all affecting this trade this week. But what about China? I was reading earlier that their shipments from the U.S. have pretty much dried up.
Yeah, I mean, both corn and beans, really. And I think it just simply comes down to the competitiveness that we've, you know, or the lack thereof, especially on the bean side of things. I mean, Brazil's coming off a pretty darn good crop. Not the crop that many had anticipated, but still a pretty darn good crop. And when we're looking at, you know, FOB values or CFR values into China, what does it really cost if you're buying from Brazil or buying from the U.S., and how much does it cost to get into China? And, you know, we look over the last couple of months, we were $1.80, more higher price than Brazil. And so we're not going to move a whole lot of beans doing it that way. I mean, the only thing that's really that competitive is the corn market. But I think when you look at the global macro side of things here, the three largest economies around the world are all starting to slow down. I think some of the U.S. data is getting propped up because of the election year. But in general, I mean, China's slowing. They've been going through their own growing pains here over the last year. So, you know, to see that China's numbers are down in general, not just from the U.S., but Brazil as well. I mean, it is a little bit discouraging, and we're just going to have to get beans to the point where they are more competitive. And I think that, you know, with the pullbacks that we've seen here over the last 3-4 months, I mean, we have been a little bit more competitive here more recently. But again, I think it just comes down to we're moving out of our export window. That business is more likely to Brazil at this moment. But the Safrina corn crop, we still don't know how that's going to pan out. We did have some comments out of the president of Cargill's Brazilian unit believes that the bean numbers are going to be a little bit higher. corn still is looking probably pretty good. But again, there's still uncertainty there. And so obviously a lot of uncertainty about the U.S. So I think what China is more than likely going to do, they know it's an election year. They're looking at the poll numbers. I think that they're going to be looking at the hedging their bets here ahead of November. So I wouldn't be surprised if China steps up here in the coming months and starts buying a little bit more U.S. grains. And it's hard to say from a, when you look at the corn market, and say, well, there's not corn demand. No, there's corn demand. We just have a lot of supply. And, speaking with producers, that doesn't seem to be the issue. It's more likely supply to be an issue than the lack of demand.
Well, and it seems like there, as you talk about that demand and that it's there for the soy meal, and we saw the way it traded. Is that something that could continue this week for that contract and then maybe keep the momentum going for beans as a whole?
Well, we got to keep in mind with the soy meal, Argentina unions are on strike this week, at least until Wednesday, more than likely probably the entire week here, just with economic reforms that are trying to be pushed through Argentina. So meal had a very solid week, up almost 2.8%. That could be the big driver here for beans, more than likely. But again, if we can get July beans above the November trend line, I do think there's going to be some further covering from the funds, especially if you can get above even a 50-day EMA, about another 12 cents. You're going to give the reason the cover further. You're going to force their hand more than likely. So, again, do I think that the meal is going to be the huge driver at the end of the day? It seems like every year Argentina has these strikes. So I think we just got to watch the technical patterns very closely. Watch July at 1176 here. That's a pivot point. If you get below there, things start to shift a little bit more to the bears here. But again, still a lot of uncertainty about how this bean crop will pan out as well. Even though the fundamentals don't seem all that positive right now in beans, beans can make moves when people least expect them to. And that's kind of market mindset I'm in right now.
All right, let's look at the livestock side before we wrap up. And I mean, except for the June lean hogs, everything else was red on the screen today.
Yeah, cattle in general, though, there's this chart structure still higher. The trend is still higher. The momentum is still there. A little bit of breather here today after a market's been up a fair bit here. So I'm not too unhappy about this at all. I mean, the spread action was a little bit weaker here on the feeders as well. You can say that on the fats. But again, if that spread action continues to be weak throughout the week, I'm going to be a little bit more concerned. If we start breaking below the 20-day, I'm going to be more concerned. But again, I think the back half of this year, barring any type of big economic issues that we are unforeseen right now, I do think cattle are going to be stronger, and I think it's going to be stronger for longer. So in general, same thing can be said for the hog complex. Hogs pulling back, but hogs have had a good run here. Last couple days have been a little bit weaker.
All right, what's the best way for folks to get a hold of you, Darren?
312-858-3668. That's my direct number. They can always find me on X at DDF Alpha.
All right, that is today's Channel Final Bell. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Channel Final Bell being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional. Pick it up as a podcast at ruralradionetwork.com or wherever you subscribe for your free podcast. That's the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network.